Hello and welcome back to our Muscle and the Hustle podcast. As you can hear, I am back. I took a week off. Tony held down the fort, held it down very well, might I add. I actually listened to our own podcast because I wasn't on it. Isn't that fucking weird?
How'd you find it? I want an honest review because I didn't really like last week's by myself.
Well, I like your Q&As anyway. You're never going to like your own podcast, but I really liked it actually. But you know what I did notice? You're a wee bit nervous when you're talking on your own.
Joseph said, he was recording it, and he goes, you're so much more confident whenever you're talking about one topic. He goes, the fact that you had to change topics so much throughout it.
Yeah, it wasn't, it might have been nerves. It's just, you can tell you're not just as, what's the word? It's like, you're so natural when you're like talking in the camera, like walking down the mall, like that video. Like, you're so natural. And then when I seen it, I was like, oh, he's under a wee bit of pressure here. But then it also, I get it, because I'm the exact same when we do the 8-minute hustles. You feel like you're under so much more pressure because you're not talking to anyone. It's if anybody's ever like recorded someone, it's a kind of mad thing where you're talking, but you're talking to nobody, really. If there's nobody, you know, me and Tony's talking to each other now, but if he wasn't there, It's as if you're talking to yourself, and that is a sign of madness. And you don't, you know, for all you know, we could put out a podcast, nobody could listen to, so therefore you are literally talking to yourself. But I really enjoyed the podcast. I listened to it walking down through Chinatown in Sydney, and it was good. It was definitely good. I actually got value out of it.
Yeah, because it's one of the things, Joe, what, it's because I was talking about things that I haven't really talked about before, because people are asking questions, and you know yourself, whenever you're traveling by yourself and that, or you even just spent a lot of time by yourself, you start contemplating things you go through, and whenever people are asking questions, where you're going to be in the next 5 years, and I've actually been like pondering that.
Yeah.
It's like, do I give the textbook answer, or do I give where I'm actually at this moment? Because the thing is, too, I believe in saying what you really want to chase out loud, but at the same time, I'm like, is that even what I'm going to want in a year's time or 2 years? But at the moment, that's where I'm aiming. And then that's why he was like, you could hear you almost like pause at certain parts to go, should I say this or not? And I always just go with like letting everything spur out and then just seeing how that rolls. That was one of the main things I wanted. I'm glad that people actually found it okay. It was different. Joe as well, a completely different scene, because we had done a lot of deep relationship stuff. We had done regrets. So it's a nice mix. And I think this one, what it would be a really good podcast. And Mickey doesn't really know this. I've sort of half picked the topic this week, and I think it's based off the topic of it's sort of towards what Ryan Hall is really at them. And if anybody listens to him, it's all about the discipline, and I feel like that is a really key sort of area that we could dive into. And I think I was listening to his podcast with Stephen Barton. It's really well worth a listen if you haven't heard it. Now, I think one of the main things he overruns is when we say discipline, we immediately think of like meatheads counting calories, you know, you having one snack off, and the military, and this real hardcore approach. Whereas what I love is the fact that he relates it all back to stoicism, and like the fact of it's self-discipline, and it's adhering to the standards you set for yourself, whether that be high, middle, or low, whatever it is. And that way you're not beating yourself, because there's some people who set very high standards for themselves.
Yeah.
And then struggle to adhere to it because of where their discipline's at. And it's one of these things that I always highlight. Like, you're just setting yourself up for failure because you haven't worked the muscle enough. Like, discipline is a muscle. Like, if you have to build it step by step. Like, if you say, right, I'm not going to have a takeaway for a year, it's too extreme. Whereas if you say, I'm not going to have one for a week, and you level that up. And it's one of these things where these promises are built in our discipline, built in our confidence, as I always say, or turn us down on a week-by-week basis. And I think a lot of people get that mixed up.
Yeah,
it's one of these things where you feel like they're one or the other. Like, confidence, discipline, all that's odd. Upwards, a lot of people feel like I have discipline or I don't. Versus, it's not like that. People aren't born with or without. It's a muscle that's trained over time, and I think that's where people get that caught up, and then they get caught in victim mode. And like, I feel like built discipline is such a different topic that most people, it's like sticking to commitment whenever motivation goes, because discipline is a motivation.
Yeah, 100%. Like, anybody that's like, I'm kind of going through it a wee bit at the moment where I haven't really trained. Shout out to Neil Collins for pointing that out to me. No bad 2 days, as we used to say. So, like, I was very dedicated and motivated, and then I kind of lost a bit of motivation because get busy and get other shit. Shit just got in the way, and I let stuff get in the way. But what annoyed me more was it annoys me when I lack discipline, because I know I have discipline, but I also know that it's discipline is something you have to keep practicing or you'll lose it. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like something like if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And it's easy to become a wee bit lazy, especially yes. after like a big push. So like it'd have been so easy for Tony after when he went on stage to his discipline to slip because he was so disciplined for so long. But that's just not in him. But it's probably more bred into me.
It's the fact of I know the repercussions, because I feel like for you to build discipline, you will have went had to go through some areas. You're saying that it's in you or not. Like I went through a phase where I've dieted really hard and rebounded, and it's the pain of that is far worse than the pain of discipline at that time point. So I was like, it's just in me. It's just one of the things where I've learned the lesson from doing a stupid thing before. It's like, Joe, the discipline of cheating on a partner, if you cheat on a partner and they find out and then your heart's broken, that pain's enough that you probably won't do it again. I don't know, like, Joe, obviously I have no personal experience in that, or like I don't know about like people saying cheaters are always cheat. But you get where I'm coming from. It's like enough pain and you'll change your inner. Oh, that cut.
I cut out a wee bit there.
Oh, sorry, but
it cut out at the word inner. You said inner and then it cut out.
Yeah, I'll maybe move the laptop over. Yeah, but it's one of the things where like that sort of inner mantra, like that's all I said there at the end. It's like, yeah, it changes your story over time, Joe. You have to work at it, and it slowly will change only by doing that. And I feel like it's one of the things where, as you said yourself there, it is in you, but at the same time, it's like because it's been built up over time. Whereas I feel like obviously I struggle to actually switch off.
Yeah.
Which is not a good thing either. There's too much discipline as well.
Yeah, like that's the thing. We hate using the word balance in this podcast because we don't really believe in balance. We believe in like big pushes and not so big.
Balance is real. It's just you're always off balance. You're always just trying to get it.
Yeah, if you stray for balance, you'll probably go mad. But I'm actually, it's mad. Like the last maybe 6-7 months, I've been looking into stoicism in a way, because I just came across it as the Daily Stoic. Is that the site?
Yeah, I love it. That's Ryan Holiday.
That's Ryan Holiday, right? Fuck, aye. So I get the daily email from him, and when you read it at the start, it's like fuck, what the fuck is this mad shit? But when it's broken down, it's so simplistic. Like the pillars of it, the four rules of it, it's so simplistic. And I mean, you think about it, they're the same things that we talk about, everybody talks about, but we don't realize that is actual rules of stoicism. You know, like, what is it, like, courage, moderation, fuck, I forget the one, smart, is it intelligence, wisdom, or something? And it's, the more I've read it, the more I kind of thinking, this is like, it's, and the simplest form is like the blueprint of being like a good person as well. And it's a blueprint of being, you know, better in life and better in general, not just like, you know, you turn into some sort of business animal or gym animal or this thing. It's actually just a good blueprint of being just a better person in general. And that is another sign of someone who's, you know, someone who's got their shit together, normally, you know, 9 times out of 10 across the board are better in most ways, you know, in my opinion anyway.
One thing he highlights really well about discipline is the fact that he says that discipline isn't about you forcing other people to live up to your standards or forcing other people to come down to your standards. Discipline is where you can see what standards you set and you uphold them. The conversations in your own head, I'm going to get up at 7 a.m., that you actually get up at 7 a.m. You don't just hit the snooze because nobody's around. It's a weekend. You're either constantly building that muscle or breaking it down. But what he also highlights is the fact that whenever you've got discipline, you tend to want it from other people, and that's not real discipline, because if you have self-discipline, you can actually thank other people for whenever they don't have high standards. So, say, for example, somebody is late for you, you don't crack up and be like, look, this isn't fair. You go, this person is teaching me patience.
Yeah, well, that's the part. That's where I kind of got on to that sort of thing, because
it's very difficult.
That sort of thing would have fucked me clean up. I took that as a real what's the word?
Disrespectful.
Disrespectful. Like, you know, it's just disrespectful when people go, oh, I'll be there at 3. I don't mind like 5-10 minutes, but then they're like 3:45. I'm like, nah, can't have it. Can't have it. But I kind of realized then that, you know, that's just me. I'm sure like ex-girlfriends or whatever, if we like were meant to be somewhere at 3 o'clock, you know, sometimes people run a wee bit late. I'm the sort of person like, no, we're here at 3. I'm sure that the fact that I wanted to be there on time all the time drove them wild, because that's not their thing. That's, you know, but the just when you were saying that, I was going through my notes, because I did actually take a note of a thing that he said before, and it was, where the fuck did I put that now? Your thoughts and beliefs create the world that you inhibit.
Yeah.
And that really fucking hit home with me, meaning, you know, you can, you know, your outlook can be different, you know, and it's not just external circumstances. You are in charge, you know, and ultimately you are in charge. I know everybody's, you know, dealt different, you know, different things dealt in life, but ultimately you are in charge of the world you inhibit, you know, through your thoughts and through your beliefs. You know, if you be,
yeah, a lot of people,
yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of people get confused that their thoughts are them when it's not. If your thoughts were you, you wouldn't have thoughts. It would just be subconscious action.
Yeah.
Whereas the fact of like, I want a chocolate bar, that is not you actually wanting a chocolate bar. That is the thought popping up and you decide whether you're going to act upon that and what direction. And I think whenever you realize that your thoughts aren't you, that really adds up massively, because that in itself builds your discipline, because you realize that you're actually different. You can act upon that in either manner. As you're saying there as well, I love that, because your reality is completely based on your perception of things and how you view it. And I hate, like, that's the discipline thing that you don't think about as well. Whereas, like, you think discipline, you think, right, good training. People don't think about, like, right, discipline is also, for example, like, whenever you say you're going to do something, doing it, right, that's okay. Everybody gets that. But people don't highlight the point of what way your thought works, how you actually discipline that side of things. And I think the word discipline is almost like, it almost has negative connotation to it, like where people go, it's automatically you're sacrificing, but that's not always the case. Because one thing that Ryan Holiday really aligned on that part of the podcast that I really loved was he highlighted the fact of one of the slaves in the Roman sort of days said that he never felt more freer than whenever he was around people who had a lot of money, status, because they were actually in chains but couldn't see it, and him as a slave felt more freedom then, because he could live by his own morals and values and what he wanted to do. Now, fair enough, he wasn't physically free, but he felt spiritually and mentally free. Whereas he actually said that all these people that were chasing money, chasing status, ambition, power, wanting the better looking wives, all this stuff, they were actually chained and caught in a reality that they didn't even realize that they're not even in control of. They looked free from the outside.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's very, very, very where I've been like last year. You know, you don't realize it, and you're always chasing like the more, and you're wanting more money, more followers, you're wanting more of everything. And you on the outside, it looked like I had freedom, but I was probably the most trapped mentally without realizing that I've ever been. And that's a very interesting thing for somebody who's traveling around the world, who's making really good money, who's got everything that on paper you want, but I actually felt very like, this is where what you're seen as, and you can't afford to lose any of it, and you're almost boxed off there, and you don't realize it, but you're in chains, and you don't even realize it, and that comes from a lack of discipline mentally with checking in on yourself and your self-reflection of what subconscious behaviors are leading you. And I think a lot of us don't realize that. Now, that is very, very heavy, and that's what I've been pondering on the last while.
Yeah,
that's the reason
it's true, but it is true. It's like, no, people, a lot of people from an outset would look at even my life and your life and go, they've got it good. They've got it. No, I'd like that life. I'd like to travel to Australia for gigs. I'd like to spend time in Mexico and live here and there. I'd like to, you know, to have that nomad life, the lifestyle. But the thing is, with getting to the point where you can do that and you are doing that, there's a lot of sacrifices that were made. There's a lot of work that be done, and there's a lot of work that continuously be done to keep yourself there. People don't see that. And also, as you said,
you have to do it,
but you're also almost putting yourself in a prison where, you know, you need to, it's not you need to, but you're almost afraid of being caught out, even though there's nothing to be caught out on. It's like, if you got drunk at the weekend in Newry, and no, not that you do, not that you're in Newry, but someone puts up a video and goes, oh, you know what I mean? Just the shit like that, where it's always on your mind that not everybody is there to see you succeed. People love a good downfall. People love, you know, there's that sort of shit that comes along. But there's also stuff like, if you hold yourself at a high regard and you're touring the world, you're doing whatever you're doing, you know, there comes pressures with that. There comes pressures of keeping yourself there. There comes pressures of the next day you might think, fuck, what if this doesn't work out? What if I'm back to zero or back to square one or whatever the thing is? There's always that pressure to be like, to continuously keep yourself there or go forward but never back.
Me and my good friend Adam Parr had a conversation in Wagamama's last night, and it actually got quite intense on this side of things. And it was about how the fact of, I was saying, like, we were talking about a very similar topic, because I was just sort of spilling all this to him as well, because it was like, this is very valuable, like, you'll get a whack from us. And he's very intelligent, like, so he'll be able to add to my sort of understanding of it. You know the way whenever you have that conversation, it's great. So if you've got somebody like that, always lean on them. But the point of it was, I was highlighting that the fact that for a long time, although I felt trapped in that, I was led subconsciously. Whenever I worked it, I was led from a feeling of whenever we went through therapy and that, and really sitting journaling and sitting thinking about, right, what is honestly leaving me like this? And whenever I got to the bottom of it, it was not being good enough. And it was actually mainly for not being good enough for the opposite sex, you know, for women, like in general, of where they place me in the hierarchy.
Yeah.
And whenever me and him discussed this, to be honest, most men won't admit that, but that's what the main point of the status is. Because obviously we're on earth to reproduce, but the people like dumbing it down to that. Like, you want women, like the men want women to see them in like a higher light. So they're seen as like an alpha. They're seen as doing well, you know, their pick. As much as most men won't admit that, a lot of the time until you're in a relationship, or even when you're in a relationship, that will still lead subconscious decisions. Because when I look at, right, what's the reason I wanted, you know, more fun, more money? I wanted to be seen as more, but to who? It wasn't just to men. It was also to women. So that whenever my relationship were down, and I sort of, like, I found one thing that worked really well. Once I figured this out, I sort of goes, I'm going to remove women from my situation. So for the next 6 months, they're just coming completely out of rotation. Like, there's going to be no dates. There's going to be no sex. And see, whenever you remove that, you don't bias decisions on it, because you're not getting that outcome no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I find that a pivotal thing. And he said that that is one of the most interesting things he's heard in a long time point. And I was like, it took me a long time to say it openly, because I think whenever I turn around and say, not that I sweared women off, but I was just like, I'm removing this from my decision making. So everything from here on out isn't based on this. Now, I'm going to give this a run for 6 months and see how it goes. Now, I'm not swearing off women or sex or my life. That's never fucking happening. But a case of how it's made me act as a human now is entirely different. My energy's changed. Everything is biased around, like, me and family, and not biased around, like, how others view me. Yeah. And where it, like, and the funniest thing is now, seeing the last 6 to 12 months, I've never, and this is me being blunt, I've never gained more followers, I've never made more money, and I've never stressed less, and I've never been more content. And it was just from an internal shift of thought. It wasn't the fact that I started doing everything differently, or I was still doing the same things, but obviously I've started doing them more effectively, or I'm coming from a place of, I'm doing it for this reason, I'm doing it for not a specific reason apart from for me internally. And I think a lot of men won't admit that. Joe, you know, like, I think we all agree, like, Joe, you know, we've worked, like, the reason I started working out was for women. The reason I started built the business, yes, for yourself and for your family, but it was also because I was like, I want more money, I want to do well, and that's for status for women. And a lot of men maybe will never think like that, but that's definitely the way I was internally hardwired without admitting it. And now that I've sort of overcome that, and I honestly, it doesn't add to my life at all, so I'm not. But whenever you're not led by that subconscious, because I always knew that, I just never said it out loud. And I feel like the discipline of seeing your weaknesses and then overcoming them with, like, solutions, like, how did I overcome that? I removed it. And a lot of people won't ever remove something like that from their thought process. And that takes, like, real fucking, like, I did not enjoy that. Like, it was, I was shite, but it's probably been one of the most pivotal things I've ever done. Now, I'm not saying any male should really do that, but I just found it was leading me too much astray in my thoughts without really being in control. Do you have a take on that? Do you think that's a bit heavy, or do you
No. It's definitely, okay, I would see
intriguing.
Yeah, from a DJ point of view, a lot of DJs and people in my industry are people pleasers. They try to please people. they think that if you're in a nightclub playing music, you have to please people. And that's the way some venues and some sort like owners would think that, that you're there to please the people. But really, if you're a professional at anything you do and you're hired to do a job and your skill set is that people come to do something or see something and they have fun, now that's your job done. You know, you should have the skill set without having to change yourself to suit other people, if you know what I mean. So people get into this like weird cycle of they forget who they are because they live for pleasing other people. If you're a performer, you're living to please other people rather than them coming to see you because what you do pleases them. Like a lot of people forget who they are and they like will mold themselves to keep other people happy and keep the audience happy, whereas they never really build their following because they're something to everyone and not just
someone here.
Exactly.
Yeah, the people are adhering to other people's standards and perceptions of them
exactly.
over time rather than, yeah, you start to get fit into this box and that's where your identity falls.
Yeah.
And you are no, yeah, I completely get,
well,
I get that.
I get like, that from the fire. Five for the fire, but I would be like I know I have a following, I have people that pay tickets, I have people that come to my gigs, but I also know there's people that like don't like my music, don't get what I do. And I'm very happy about that because I can't be someone for everyone. And that's definitely okay. And that's the way it should be. I would, in the younger years when I first started DJing, I tried to keep everyone happy. And then I realized that by doing that, I was never truly going to be who I am. And it's not being like elitist or anything, but if you'd never be who you are, how's people ever going to really know you or like you or follow you? It's like your online presence, Tony, that's you. You are who you are. People might fucking hate it, people might love it, people might both. Yeah, that's what I mean. You're meant to be, nobody's meant to agree with every single thing me or you say or anybody says. If that's the case, you know, it's just, it'd be weird if you agree.
If you're liked by everyone, you're probably not showing your truest.
Exactly. People like you can tell the people online that are trying to keep everyone happy and they're jumping.
Oh, they're so, they're jumping, I call them beige.
They're jumping on every single social topic and because they think they think that's people want to hear. Exactly. So like for me,
like that's why, do you not feel like that's why so many people do shit in certain things? Because when you're afraid to offend people, you play it safe, you're vanilla. Now don't get me wrong, I love a vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
But if you go into an ice cream shop where there's all the flavors, you don't usually get vanilla.
No, because there's more exciting things there.
Yeah, exactly. Like I would classify myself as like a Kinder. No, not a Kinder. Like a rum raisin. You're either gonna love me or you're gonna fucking hate me.
Mint chalk chip.
I see. Yeah, I think mint chalk chip's a bit of a. I know we're getting off topic. I think mint chalk chip is one of them ice creams. I would never get it, but. Yeah. I don't dislike it. I just don't like. I feel it's a very safe. I actually feel like that's a very safe option.
Do you think so? No. I think it's very polarizing. I think people.
It is polarizing. What is right in terms of like what flavor?
off on a fucking topic here. This is the first rabbit hole of the day.
Right, top. Give us top flavors of ice cream.
Kinder Bueno.
Kinder Bueno or Kinder?
Kinder, the Kinder one out of Nuglatella. Yeah. Or whatever it is.
Like Kinderella, not Bueno, because Bueno is like chocolate, right? Yeah.
And then I would say something with like honeycomb, like a caramel chew or a Pooh Bear Mods, is it?
Pooh Bear's very good at Mods, very good.
And I would say it's tough.
I'm a big fan of the caramel if it's done right.
Yeah, if it's done right, it's a good one, yeah. The caramel's good.
It needs to be like, Joe, like vanilla ice cream with caramel for it. It just gives it that, like, pop. It's like honeycomb, but, like, just with caramel. It's like, that sort of trade-off, yeah.
I like cookie dough. I like cookie dough.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I used to when I was younger. Like, I think out of the tubs, like, Häagen-Dazs, like, salted caramel, dulce de leche is, like, it's got to be up there with the top.
I haven't had ice cream in a long time, and I walk past, like, Bangor's just full of ice cream shops, like...
Apparently, Gelato place in Belfast. I keep on getting recommended. A lot of people
recommend Al Gelato.
Yeah,
have you been? It's good. It's very good. Like, huh? They're all good.
I'll have to. You're afraid to say it. I'll be.
I don't know if Al Gelato is better than. I think Al Gelato is better than Nugletella. Al Gelato is better than Nugletella, in my opinion. But everybody loves Nugletella, and I don't. I think Al Gelato is better.
I quite enjoy it. Like, I don't like talking about things. My mum loves, like, she is like a bueno head.
Yeah.
And she says she's never had nicer ice cream than New Gelato because it's like her vibe.
Yeah.
See, I'm happy. See, as long as I get a cone, and I had a New Gelato, it was fucking class. I mean, let's go back to things.
Do you like a waffle cone or a normal cone?
Well, I do prefer. See, the problem is, I prefer a waffle cone, but if the person made the waffle cone shit, it leaks at the bottom and it does my fucking tits in. So it depends on where I go. Like, if I go to a place once and they give me a bad waffle cone, I'm like, mate. Right, back to discipline, the discipline of not talking about fucking ice cream. I feel like whenever it comes to the sort of the discipline, it is obviously a negative connotation. It's one of these things where people go down that avenue, and as you said, your reality and your thoughts become your thing. It becomes what happens to you and your perception of it. And the thing is, it's your perception of what discipline is that usually is the issue, in my opinion. Like, a lot of people obviously see it that negative light, but I feel like it's also highlighting the point of, like, just because you have discipline in some areas, you probably don't have it in others. And then also making sure that you don't. I think a lot of people get frustrated at others that don't have it whenever they do. It's like, Joe, whenever people are like, oh, well, you're getting Chinese even though I'm dating. Like, that is not their issue. That is yours. And not everybody has to adhere to your standards. And
Yeah. Usually
people are like, there's nothing wrong with having a lower discipline level at all. It's whenever you start to get mixed citations of what you need, mixed thought process is probably the better word of it,
Yeah. Of
what you feel is right for you. Like, people feel like, I have to have a highly disciplined. The thing is, as long as you're disciplined with your thoughts, that's the more important thing in terms of checking in with yourself. As I said there, you're not getting led subconsciously by people pleasing or by chasing followings or trying to please the external masses or trying, like, subconsciously attract more women, like I probably was to some extent without realizing it, or not realizing it, more so admitting it probably deep down. And even being led by fear or being led by the wrong thing, like, it's one of these things where once you understand that, you can then flip it. Whereas if you're chasing something, it's like a lot of people I know getting into coaching now are getting in for the money, right? And that's me being straight. But they're almost trying to bluff themselves into saying they're doing it for the... Whereas you just need to be open, honest, and transparent with yourself. And then you're going to do much better from that because you know where you're coming from. Whereas I'm not saying you'll not make it if you're in for the money. I'm just highlighting that you're trying to run off a fuel source whenever you're not connected to that, when you're connected to something else. And the more in touch you are with that, the better.
Yeah.
It's like, as Arnold always said, he's like, go to the gym. And if you're going to the gym for girls, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to understand it and actually reaffirm that with yourself, because otherwise what happens is you feed that beast without realizing it too much,
Yeah. And
you're not in control of the wheel anymore. And that's almost what probably happened to me to an extent. So I just think that discipline of checking in with yourself as well is very, very key. And if I just had to say there's one or two things you could do, it's just making sure that you're asking yourself, my life going in this direction, why is it going in this direction? Why is my relationship going in this direction? Right? What is, am I being led by what I want, or maybe a subconscious thought, or
what they want?
Weakness. What?
Or what they want.
Yeah, exactly. Others want, or what society deems is right for you. Like, I'm 28 now, 28 and a half. Like, this is a sort of stage now where people tend to get houses, they tend to stay in the one spot, they tend to want a partner for life. And I'm just after sort of like doing the last 6 months where I'm like, I don't want any of that. I just want to be completely focused on trying to figure out my thought process. And that is almost not frowned upon, but it's like, oh, you should have your shit together. And I want you to realize, no matter what age you are, your shit will probably never be together. It's always constantly evolving and redefining, and what you're led by is different. Because if you're a parent, you can be led by safety and you're looking after your children, versus if you're 18, you can be led by status. But Yeah. It's just reaffirming that with yourself and knowing what's leading your decision making, because then you can view it a non-bias from the outside in and go, I'm still happy with that decision no matter what way, Yeah. What's leading it. As long as I'm aware of it, it's still your decision, and you're in much more control rather than being led by these subconscious fears, thoughts, feelings that you don't even realize are sort of taking the steering wheel out of your hand.
Like, everyone's timeline's different as well. Like, if someone's listening to this now and they're maybe 28, 29, 30, and they're under pressure to get married, kids, house, whatever, or...
Or vice versa, if you have kids and you're married, you're happy. Don't let me tell you the traveling Yeah. Fucking world.
But also, everyone's lying... Everyone's timeline is different. everyone's maturity level is different. I know fellas in their early 20s are more mature than fellas in their early 40s, you know, or they're ready to settle down quicker, or they're not ready to settle down. I know some fellas that don't settle down. I know some girls that don't settle down. I know some girls that never want to be married. They never want kids. That is okay. Society can tell you what society wants to tell you, but every person is unique and different. And don't, like, me and Tony are pretty good at this. Don't bow to external pressures. No, the pressure you put yourself on is one thing, and the pressure we put ourselves on is another thing, and the standards we hold ourselves to. But external pressures from people should not make you make a decision or make a rash decision, whereas you could be with someone now and go, right, I'm 30, I've been with this person for 4 years. You mightn't want to marry them, but the pressure on you now, you're thinking to yourself, yes, if I don't marry this person now, I have to go through this again for another 4 or 5 years, and then I'm going to be 35, my body clock, time's running out.
I fucking couldn't agree more.
You can be stuck in a decision going, you know what, I will make do with what I have. And that's not a good way to be. Externally, the pressure coming on to you is, you should do this because of this age, because of that age. Fuck that there. This world, the world we're in at the minute, the society we're in at the minute, the generation we're in at the minute, is very different than our parents. A million times different than our parents. And that's a million times different than their parents. But they're bringing this down generationally. And it's been brought generationally. Ireland in the fucking early 90s, late 80s, didn't have internet. If you needed to know the answer or something, you had to fucking contact someone. You had to go to the man down the street and go, here, do you know the answer to this question? You couldn't just lift up your phone or go on Google and go, no, da-da-da, what is the answer? You know, that's the sort of generation that they were in. The world is a very different place, and I think it's okay for you not, you know, say, oh, my parents got married at 25, they had me at 26. It's okay that you're 28 and still fucking, you know, maybe doing your second degree. Maybe doing your third degree. Maybe doing your master's.
I want to ask you a question. Now, this is me being cheap. I'm not feeling it. I can just sense it in my... For anyone that, I don't know if you're around my age, but if you're younger, you'll probably not feel it. But as I move through life now, and I'm sure you went through the stage, right? A lot of people now are just having kids and they're getting married. And like, this is a very weird thing for me because you still always feel younger than you are, I think. And now I'm seeing people in my class that like have two kids. They've got a house, they've got a mortgage, they've got a wife. And you can immediately think, fuck, I don't have my shit together. And yet you don't know what's going on subconsciously with these people. You don't know if they're happy, they're miserable or what. But it's because they are adhering to society's norms. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. If you're happy, I think that's fucking quality. Yeah. If that's the way it is. Because there's nothing more better for you than contentment, routine, and structure like that. And that's the discipline of that, which I think is ideal. But I definitely feel like I'm coming to that stage now where I can feel, especially women that I know were in 30, around my age, and I can see that like pressure.
The pressure on the woman's a lot more than the pressure on the man, I think.
100%. It's far more. And it's so wrong because the problem is they put it on themselves, but society puts it on them too. It's like, you've got the clock and there's this talk about it. And it's very easy for me and you to say that, I feel like, but it's very tough for a woman to turn around and go,
very tough.
It'll take its course because you can turn around and go, well, you're playing it safe and you're with that man. But they're like, well, if I let go, we don't know what's going to happen. But it's one of these things you really do have to believe in, like, what's for you won't go by you in that sense of the word. And did you feel that pressure? Because, like, I don't mean to sound cheeky in any way, shape, or form, but you are obviously a wee touch older. Did you feel that pressure whenever you were in the 33 range? That's got to be the age. Like, did you feel that pressure of, like, I need a life partner?
I did. And not externally. Nobody ever put me on it externally. I put myself under a wee bit of pressure at one stage.
Yes.
Especially when I was engaged and then my engagement was split up, I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to start this all again. That was 2018, so 3, 4, 5 years ago. So that's around that timeline. So I was kind of like, fuck, I have to go through this all again. But then I realized, well, I don't, because if I meet the person that it's meant to be, no, I'm not the person going to go, well, right, I have to date her for 4 or 5 years. If it's fucking right, it's right. You'll know it's right after a year or two. You know it's right after a year, whatever. I don't give a fuck about stuff like that. But I found that I had kind of subconsciously almost stayed in a relationship, because without even knowing these thoughts were in my head, without even knowing I was going through this in my head, but I found myself like second guessing everything else, going, oh, but no, I have to stay in this relationship because this is where I need to be. This is where I'm, you know, this is the right thing to do. House, engaged, next thing, probably kids. But little did I know subconsciously, it was something I really didn't want, didn't need. Neither did she at that stage. But now I don't feel any of that pressure whatsoever, because I just don't feel it. I don't put myself under pressure. When it happens, it happens. Yeah, someday I probably would like to get married. Maybe if the time's right and the person's right and the situation's right. Would I like kids? Probably would at some stage. Once again, has to be right. Has to be as close to perfect as I can to bring somebody into this world, to treat them, you know, to give them the right upbringing, give them the right of everything. But I don't feel pressure anymore in it, because I'm just kind of like, as you said, what is for me won't pass me. What is, you know, what is meant to be will be it someone from my past, be it someone from my future. You know, I truly believe in, you know, when one door closes, another door's open, doesn't mean that door, the close, can't reopen. And I do believe in stuff like that, but as far as, like, my family's never put me under pressure. I've never had, but then once again, this is different for girls. I've never had a mummy say to me, I want a grandchild. I've never had a granny put me under pressure and say, I want a grandchild. But I know there's a lot of females out there that does happen to them. And with, like, what's biology and stuff, there is a window. And sometimes they feel more under pressure on that window, but I will never, I don't feel that there. But then again, I've kind of learned, I wouldn't say I'm a free spirit, but I'm definitely a free thinker on, I'll just do what I do that makes me the happiest and brings more happiness into me and my friends' lives, my family's lives, and I'll continue to do that. And if someone on the way meets me, or we meet, and they can add to my life, then so be it. Like, I'm not going to go, fuck, this has to be the woman. It's like, if you can add to my life and I can add to your life, come on board. This is going to be a great adventure. But if it starts to, you know, if it's something like, oh, you know, you're starting to kind of not be yourself, and you can't be yourself, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, then it's like, no, you know, you have to, you know.
I believe a relationship is compromised to some extent, but it's like they add more than they take, I think, is a really key
part. Oh, yeah, but 100% compromise, but don't compromise who you are or what you are. You know, don't all of a sudden go from being like, you know, you just can't completely change your who you are and what you are. You can change your habits. Yeah, you can change your habits, because of course you're going to have to change your habits when you live with someone. You can't scratch your balls and fart and fucking all that sort of stuff. But you can't change who you are as a human being to suit someone else. You are who you are. You know, I was. Have you watched the Kelce documentary? About Travis Kelce's brother Jason? Amazon. He's an American footballer. His brother's dating Taylor Swift now, who's all on the news, right? So Kelce's documentary, he's a family, young family and wife, and they were talking about, him and his wife were talking about, you know, his traits, and she was like, I wouldn't change anything from the world, but he's the loudest human being in the world. And he just laughed, and then the brother laughed, they all laughed, but she was like, but that is him, and I could never ask him to do it. Does it drive me mad? Yes, it does. But that is Jason. Jason is just like a big rhinoceros. And he stamps his feet and you hear him walking around the house. And I just, that kind of hit home, whereas I've been in relationships before where girls have kind of like went, oh, you know, this and that, and, you know, cut back and DJ. I've had girls ask me to cut back and DJ and do this and do that. But then also, you know, that's my job. You know, if I cut back on that, we don't get X, Y, and Z to do this. And I've had girlfriends that have said to me, oh, you know, you should do this more, do this less, you know, do that more, and we should do this. And there are things that I'm just, you know, you be changing who you are as a person and who you are as a human being if you started, you know, to do that stuff. And then ultimately, you wouldn't be Mickey Quinn at the end. You'd be something that used to look like him. And I see that all too often with people, with friends, be it gear. And I know fellas do this to girls all the time. They get a girl, and it's as almost they have the mentality, go, oh, I'll bait her into shape here. Meaning, I'll make her act a certain way, I'll make her dress a certain way, she'll do this, she'll do that. And I know subconsciously they probably don't even know they're doing it, but they do it. And I know girls that do that to fellas, and I know girls that, you know, would say, oh, I'll make him a husband. You know, I'll make him husband qualities. And some fellas need that, but not if it's going to go against who you are as a human being. And that's kind of where I am. I'm at the point in life where if I meet someone and they can add to my life and I love them or fancy them, or even from the starting standpoint, fancy them and go, right, I'm going to let you in here. That's fair enough. But I'll never change who I am as a human being to suit someone, to try to get them to stay on, to try to get them as a wifey, to try to get them as a mother, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's one of the things I think the more you know yourself, the more you get settled in it. Like the problem is, I think a lot of the time with that, you don't have the discipline to be grateful or truly, truly content with where you are. Like right now, as you said there, I think it's a very difficult thing. It's easy to say, I'm happy if no partner comes or if they don't, but it's very different to actually say it and actually mean it.
Yeah. Well,
and that's where
what I love a partner believe really do.
And I feel like that's because one of the key things that I've been reading a lot on lately is how important it is to spend time alone. Like, how are you really supposed to know what you want, who you are, and who you're even evolving into, if you don't spend time sort of sitting with yourself, reflect, not meeting other people, not going on dates, not constantly, chasing the next milestone, getting a promotion, getting married, getting a kid, or whether it's just something standard, like you're chasing a new PB in the bench. If you don't spend time, not saying don't chase goals, you can always be moving the needle towards something, but spend time actually going, what is going on with me right now, Joe? Check in, see what's leading them decisions, as we said there as well. Being, whenever you're content with yourself, even if you're in a relationship and you can be content with yourself, the relationship will be better. That's definitely something that's really important. I feel like a lot of people don't spend enough time checking on themselves. Like, you come first. Whenever you're looking after your own headspace and your discipline, and you're making sure all your boxes tick, you'll not get agitated as easily. You'll not get as frustrated at people. You'll be far more patient. You'll be far more caring. You'll be bringing a far better version of yourself. Whereas whenever you don't really know what's leading you to make decisions, what's leading you to do things, whether you want to do something or not, you're not sure if you want to go out tonight and have a ripper, get a meal, or stay in and stick to your debt, whatever it is, you're not sure where your values lie. And whenever you don't align your day-to-day actions with your values, then that's whenever you get this odd problem where you're saying, I want to be a super highly disciplined individual, but you also want to have the unseen social life. Like, they don't align up. So the thing is, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to change your thought process of what that balance and that discipline line, where it sits with you, and then the result you get in both areas based off that is where it's going to make you happy.
Yeah.
It's whenever your expectations aren't met because your discipline's either too high for the level you're at or it's too low.
Yeah.
That's when it frustrates you. It's like people who diet Monday to Friday, take the weekend off. Like, that's what my video was today, the fucking 12 pancakes. It's like, You're shooting yourself in the foot, but you're getting frustrated because you're expecting more because you're high discipline sometimes and low discipline others, rather than having a more moderate level all the time.
Yeah.
And I do feel like it's that when life doesn't meet your expectations, that's when people get fried. Versus if you can be very content with just you, yourself, and nothing else around you, you can be fully content. Like Adam said this to me yesterday, and you've said this exact same quote to me, and I've said it as well, and he said it to me yesterday. If you cannot be happy with a cup of coffee, you won't be happy with a yacht.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that in all areas. If you're not happy by yourself, you won't be happy with a supermodel wife with fucking, do you know what I mean? It's one of these things where that won't fill a void. Nothing can fill a void that's internal. You can't put a piece of their jigsaw into yours. People go, this person completes you. No. You're already complete by yourself. You have to just define what that looks like. And the problem is a lot of people think they're missing pieces when they're not. The pieces they need are still there. They just need to reshuffle them.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Fuck, I got deep in this one, Mickey. It's fucking just pure knowledge.
That is a very... It is true. Like, time spent on your own, you'll learn more about yourself than anybody or anyone could ever tell you. Like, I was just thinking when you were saying that, like, if a girl points out your... or if a partner points out your flaws, some people are shocked at that. But if you've spent time on your own, there's no flaw that they could point out that you don't already know about yourself. you know,
if you get triggered by that anyway.
If you get triggered by that anyway, like, but you'll know, if you spend time on your own, you'll get to know yourself so well. You'll know every flaw. You'll know every attribute. You'll know all your good points. It's like anybody that's listening to this is dating at the minute in their own apps or whatever. Like a girl always say to you, what's your best feature, your best attributes? Some people really struggle with that question because they don't know themselves. They haven't spent time alone to properly know themselves. But people who spend time alone and go, I'll fucking tell you what my best attributes are. Boom, 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 boom. There you go. And they're concise with their answer because they know who they are. They know what they're about. They know what they bring. But if you're constantly either, you know, going in the roundabout of just loads of dating and loads of like bouncing from relationship to relationship, never truly finding, you don't know why these relationships aren't working. You don't know what's going on. You don't really know what you want. The reason is because you don't really know who you are anymore. Because the last time you might have been single, you may have been 18 or 19 or 17. But if you don't know who you are, or take time out of dating, or take time away from dating, or take time away from relationships, you find out who you are, you'll quickly find out what you want, and you'll quickly find out what you need, more importantly. Because what you want and what you need is a very different thing. You know, you might want Megan Fox. You might not need a Megan Fox. Megan Fox might be a wee bit too fucking hectic for you. You know, what you want, what you need is two very different things. Can they be similar?
Get what you want, but you'll always get what you need.
Yeah, and I believe in that. No, I believe in karma. You put out good shit into the world, you get good shit back. No, that is. I believe that does happen, and I believe that that's happened to me this year. I've had a very good year. You know, I've had a very good year, and I do pride myself on being a very good person. And this year is just like, going to Australia to play gigs last week is a fucking major thing, like getting flown out. You know, the stuff on the horizon's massive. All the things we've been doing is massive. But do I think, I believe that things aligned. I believe the fact that, you know, being good and being a good person and having that bit of talent and a bit of luck, everything comes aligned and things like that does happen. And I, you know, if, as I said earlier, if it's meant for you, it won't pass you. It might pass you in the short term, can come back around. And I like that's kind of, and also that gives you a wee bit of hope. You know, some people, you need a wee bit of hope here and there. You need that wee light at the end of the tunnel, because sometimes, you know, people do put themselves under pressure in life, and they put themselves under pressure in business and relationships and this and that. But if you have a wee bit of light and go, you know what, what's meant for me won't pass me, it's coming. You know what, it will, and I do believe it will come. It will come, and you just have to be aware to realize it. It could be straight in front of your face at the moment. But because you haven't spent that time on your own, you're probably not, you don't know what you're looking at or looking for, and it could be right there. Could be your fucking best friend. No, it could be your next door neighbor. But because you don't really know what you want, it may be just right in front of you, or you know, it could have been in your life prior, and you might have to go back and get it. But that was a deep one. Fucking hell.
Jeez. Heavy podcast. Heavy podcast. That's a lot of food for thought for everybody.
I enjoyed that one. If you do find
value in this, please share it in your story. Let us know. This is definitely one I'm going to share in mine anyway. I've got a lot from that as well, just even pondering and going through it. So
yeah,
sharing your story, rate, like, review. I really appreciate everything.
Yeah, keep. And, oh, I would just more in person massive thank you as well.
I reckon when we're both home.
Massive thank you. We've been charting in a lot of new countries. So in the last month, we've charted in Ireland, UK, Australia, New Zealand, Norway, Canada, America, Hong Kong. That's class. Whoever's in Hong Kong, shout out to you. So that's where we've been charting in this last month. So a big thank you to everybody for all your rates, reviews, and shares, and questions. Just keep them coming. And shout out to the people in Australia I was chatting to, actually, that listened to the podcast. I was absolutely blind drunk on Sunday. We were out for a Super Sunday, and a boy tapped me on the shoulder and goes, you need to get home and get that podcast done, cub.
So fucking hell, that's you told.
That was me told, but I was like, Tony's solo this week. Tony is solo. But anyway, thank you very much, guys, and we'll chat these next week.
Take care.